Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wandery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcast. Think Loud Crew podcast. We are three moms coming together to express ourselves in a safe space on the topics of parenting, lifestyle growth, and of course our WTF moments. My name is R. My little friend Zaire is here with us today in the studio, and we have a special guest with us who y'all have been honestly requesting to come back on the podcast for some time now. We've got Miss Remy!
Woo-hoo! Hi, everyone. I'm Remy.
And I'm Cheyenne. I'm holding Malachi, who's also our special guest. Yes. Isn't this crazy?
That is wild.
I mean, the last time you were on the podcast with us, you definitely did not have a baby.
I wasn't even pregnant.
And you weren't Miss Bobo yet.
I wasn't married.
No. No.
I was just engaged.
Were you engaged then?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were telling us about, like,
your intentional,
you know,
dating,
breaking it off with Brandon, breaking it back on with Brandon. Now look at you.
Mary, baby.
A wife.
It's a lot. It's been so many different just titles that happened over such a short period of time.
That's one of, so we put up Remy and Brandon's very adorable, beautiful pictures, which I feel like belong like in like one of those like parent magazines.
Yeah, it was very like
it needs to be in like Essence or like a parent magazine. Like I don't, but we put that up, and I just want to say a lot of times when we put up certain things, we're like when we want people to feedback or ask questions, it's hit or miss. Like sometimes you guys do not ask diddly squat, but when I say so many people are just as invested in your life as I am.
That's
I
so was sweet. Like,
damn, Remy. But that was one. Know,
and people are trying to figure out, like, how to find love within their life or how to make it intentional, like, how to maneuver this new world of dating, because it's a shit show.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine dating right now.
Me either.
Oh. I'm letting you know. It's a shit show.
Oh, but I feel like that was a question that I saw repeatedly was, you're talking about the time and how it's a lot of new titles, a lot of changes in a short period of time.
Yeah.
When you read that question, what do you think?
So I think what people want to know is, do I wish I waited longer?
To get married and to have a baby, or all of, or both?
The questions that I saw, which I did not see all of them, so forgive me, y'all, if I missed some. But a few of the questions that I saw that kind of correlated was, do you wish that you and your husband waited to get pregnant until you've had enough time to experience marriage together for, like, a longer time?
Yeah.
And that is a very tailored to each person question. So, like, I don't want to answer this as advice. I just want to answer this as, like, my personal experience.
Okay.
And one thing that I noticed was, or not even one thing that I noticed, but with Brandon and I, we've done everything very fast. And, like, we met each other in 2020. I'll just give a really quick recap for everyone who's new to our story. We met each other during the pandemic in February, right before the pandemic, February 2020. And then we started to date in April 2020. Now we're, like, smack dab in the middle of COVID. We ended up breaking up for a short season in May, 1 month after we got together.
Yes.
And then we got together again, maybe in, like, 6 or 8 weeks later. Brandon then proposed in January of 2021, and we got married in November of 2021.
It was all fast.
So it all happened really fast. But one thing that I can say is, we milked the best out of every season that we were in, knowing that it was short-lived. Like, we
knew.
That
is such a good way of saying it.
We knew that our engagement season was short-lived, so we did the absolute most that we could possibly do to enjoy that season of engagement. We didn't know our marriage, our married without a baby season, was going to be as short-lived, but we both had desires to be parents.
Yeah.
And one thing that we realized was that the fruit of a baby is the best fruit that two people can produce. So while we, like, really, really enjoyed each other, there was just such a deeper layer of love that we were able to experience that I didn't know existed when we ended up trying to get pregnant. Because as you guys know, when we didn't get pregnant right away, it took us some time. And going through that process of trying to get pregnant, I got to love him through the lens of compassion that I didn't know he had for me. And I got to experience a new level of love with every single transition that we went into. So it's like, yeah, we could have stayed in that season of marriage without a baby. And of course, that season was beautiful, those first 3 months that we had to ourselves with no pregnancy. But we had a full year without the baby, but I was pregnant for 9 of that. But the months we had, that was great. But I would not have experienced the compassion that I got when we were trying.
Yeah.
He saw how hard that was for me. And then I also wouldn't have experienced the selflessness that I got out of him when we found out I was high risk. So I got to learn to love him through an evolution of all of these phases that I would not have otherwise got to know him through until way later. So in a way, it made me love him more, and it made me love, like, layers of him that could only be peeled back as we grew and as, like, our seasons changed.
Yeah. I definitely feel like every relationship, every marriage, every parenting relationship, sometimes when you go through certain experiences, and what I've been learning in therapy is that there's certain experiences that you don't even realize are traumatic or are traumas, but it's how you and your partner, if you're dealing with the marriage or a girlfriend, boyfriend or whatever, how you guys figure it out between the two of you. So there's a lot of traumas that can break people up. And not being able to get pregnant when you expect you're going to get pregnant like this, it's traumatic.
It is traumatic.
And how you guys recover and go through that together says a lot about your relationship.
Right.
Because he could have looked at you and was like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, and gone a different route. I don't think he wants that. And I think you had goldfish in your mouth, and now there's goldfish on that basket.
Don't give him
Y'all, this is... So we've got both kids. We've got two. Well, I have both of my kids in the studio today. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But we're making it work.
It's a lot going on.
Another thing I've learned throughout this period is it doesn't take, like, having a baby does not take away from you experiencing your partner. Like, some people feel that way because I can totally understand how it can, but it's just a reshifting of loving your partner. And you have to be so much more intentional about it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you guys know, having a kid requires a lot of attention to that kid. Mm-hmm. And that's from both parts. So when it comes to us being newlyweds, and I recommend this for anyone, but like, the order is so important. Like, you have to prioritize your marriage first, your spouse first, because if you don't, your child will feel that chaos. Yeah, like, on days where I'm overwhelmed and Brandon's overwhelmed and, like, we're not prioritizing each other, Malachi has, like, shifty energy. The days where, like, he's serving me and I'm serving him and we're sowing into each other, that is, like, an overflow of love that we can pour into him. And it's so easy for you to forget to say, how are you? Just that simple. Like, how are you today? Because you're so, and he's at the age where he needs so much attention. Like, he can't do anything on his own.
Yeah.
So we have to, like, check in, like, oh, shoot, I didn't even kiss my husband. And it's like 2 o'clock or I didn't even ask him how his day's going. So just to, like, you have to be so much more intentional. And that's the challenge of it while being newlyweds and having a baby is, like, trying to make sure that your spouse doesn't feel forgotten and that you guys just don't turn into roommates. Because I can totally see how that happens. Yeah.
That's something that we have worked on in our relationship. Having an older child, Ryder's 6, so she is a little bit more independent, but she still requires just as much attention and wants just as much attention as Ace wants in Ace's 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was maybe like a few months that went by and I felt like we were in a routine, just a routine of kids, drop off, pick up, run errands, get groceries, make dinner, put kids to sleep, give kids bath. Like, everything was just so baby related and kid related. And it was like a few months. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of looked at each other one night and was like, Hey, how are you? Like, where you been? Like, and it was like,
we're here too.
We really were like, it was almost like funny, but it wasn't funny, you know, but it was, you see your mom.
It's just, you get stuck in that rut of just parent life and you forget that you guys are actually in a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, I see how that
And I was like, oh my God, like, long time no see, buddy. Like, you know, and what was our struggle point is that our relationship was friendship based.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always struggled with remembering that we're
lovers
and not just friends. Like, we are great at being best friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work at being each other's lovers and
developing that. Like that romantic side.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So when that happened, it really like allowed us to reset our relationship. Like, we had to reset it because I'm not your friend. I am your friend, but I'm not your friend.
Right.
You know
I'm
what
not
I mean?
Just your friend.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not just the mother of your children. Yeah. Like, I'm so much more than that. Pour more into me.
Right.
And I have to pour more into you. So I think what you're like, when you say like to be so intentional with it, I'm sitting here now thinking like, damn, when's the last time like we went on a date? Like,
And thanks to you, we were able to go on a date for the first time since Malachi's been born without him. The day before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Because typically, we just take him. Because we don't have our parents here, which is just like a whole nother story for another day. Like, I really wish our parents were here to experience him and to give us a break sometimes.
You need the village.
So we end up taking him everywhere. And I've also come to love it because it's cool to just like have him with us all the time. But it is necessary for us to spend time without our baby, without looking over, making sure he's not throwing up everywhere.
Right.
And all the things. So, date nights are very important.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's Angi.com.
As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store and print whatever kind of images I want for my home. Whether it's a travel souvenir, my favorite photos from my travels, or just pictures of my kids, I know it's going to get done and it's going to look good. All you have to do is upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging, or visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. I love to see things that I've done and experienced in life, and they motivate me to work even harder. When you think of Framebridge, just remember it's easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. It's fair and transparent upfront pricing based simply on the size of your item. There's a curated selection of frame styles with design experts on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame. There's fast service, free shipping, and it's great for gifts. Order online or get expert help at a retail location near you. And don't forget, happiness is guaranteed. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they'll make it right. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
I want to look and see. You had a lot of good questions.
Good questions?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get to them.
There were a lot of good ones. Okay. What is the best thing about motherhood? Hardest thing, something you didn't know about motherhood you wished you did.
The best part about motherhood, I have never felt so me before. I know that probably doesn't make any sense. I didn't think
it kind of does.
It kind of does.
Okay, one thing about Remy and children, babies, we could be anywhere and not know anyone. And like 5 minutes into being there, Remy is holding
someone's baby.
And not only is she holding the baby, but she is enjoying the baby, loving the baby. And the baby would be loving Remy to the point where the parents would be like, hey, let's take this somewhere else. We've literally been random places. Remy's been holding this baby all night. And then they come to our house the next week and Remy's like, give me my baby. So when you say this is me, like this is you. Like when you were talking about waiting after you guys got married to have children, I remember I was like, Remy, just enjoy your marriage at first. But I was like, this girl's about to just pop up. In my mind, I was like, she's already pregnant.
Yeah. And I've gotten to enjoy the marriage so much more. I mean, I don't really know. I don't have anything to compare it to because this is my first marriage. And the marriage was a year before. He got here December 2022. We were married November 2021. So a little bit over a year, year and a month.
That's how I kind of was with my parents.
You were there like right away.
But they were together way before.
So,
but like they got married and then it was like
have the baby. So I don't know. To answer the first question is I just feel so much. I feel like I've come into myself as a mother, and I felt that way as a wife, but I feel that way even more so as a mother. Mm-hmm. And he just has this joy about him that it's like he may know that you're having a bad day, and he'll just look up and smile. Like, he wakes up so happy. Like, he looks around, and the moment he makes eye contact with Mira Brandon, he just gives the biggest smile. So he just has this way of, like, dissipating worry. And
I love how you said that.
I just love him.
What's the hardest thing?
The hardest thing,
Bend down.
Dang. At first, I would say the hardest part was the exhaustion because I had to nurse every 2 hours. You've been there when a way worse situation than me. You had to do every hour, right? I had to nurse Malachi every 2 hours, and I was just so tired in the beginning of it. Our family's not here. Our moms are in our East Coast, and another hard element of it is not having them here because I would love for them to experience Malachi more often and love for them to, like, be a part of his upbringing and just do grandparent things, like, just stop by. Like, we have to hold the FaceTime up so they can talk to him. And sometimes it makes me sad because I'm like, oh, they love him so much over the phone, but I just know that they're hurting too. Like, I hang up the phone sad, and I know they hang up the phone sad too.
Yeah.
So that's a hard part for sure.
No, I can relate to that with the boys and their dad. It's nice because they do get to form some kind of relationship or bond. And, like, babies are smart. It's through voice, like, face recognition. So it does help, like, get that bond going. But it's also, like, you need that physical touch. Yeah. You want that warmth. You're, like, you're not just a... I know your mom, and your mom is such a hands-on mom. Yes. Like, I know she's going absolutely crazy, and I know Brandon's mom is going absolutely crazy. So it's a tease, you know, but
it's like a necessary
tease. It's a necessary tease. You do it because
you still want them to be connected.
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
So it's a blessing that we have FaceTime.
Right.
Definitely.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The third, this is all one person's question, by the way. Goodness. The third part was something you didn't know about motherhood you wish you did.
Something I didn't, actually, it's so crazy to me how the majority of my life I've heard such negative things about having a child. Like, your marriage isn't going to be the same, which, once again, he's very young, so that could be the truth. But as of right now, it's not. It's
like, as of right now, my marriage is good.
It's like, your marriage isn't going to be the same. Kids are stressful. Kids add, like, chaos to your life. Like, kids are bad. They're expensive, which all the things, like, they are expensive at some point. Not yet. But it's just been, like, this monsoon of negativity. So I think for a long time, I expected that once I have a kid, like, I knew that I would love the kid because I love strangers' kids, but I thought that it would also be this, like, weight. And a lot of people are just like, oh, kids, you know? Like, oh, they're terrible people. And they rob your joy, and they're, like, little aliens who never leave you alone, which may be the case.
They are definitely little aliens that never leave you alone.
I want Remy to come back. When Malachi is two,
so
when he's in those terrible twos,
not even two, I say like 18 months.
I say when its feet touch the ground. I want it in the prime of terrible twos, okay?
I'm like, guys,
and she's gonna be like, there's a little alien that walked up touching me.
He won't leave me alone.
Yeah. Zaire's 18 months right now. I would try and hold him down, but it's like, it's not happening.
But I get what you're saying.
There's such a negative stigma.
I get that there is a lot of parents who might be.
Well, they harp on the negatives.
Yes, but there's so many positives. But that's the same way, like, I can get 1,000 comments of somebody saying you're beautiful and get one and they say I'm fat. And I'm like, God damn it, I'm fat. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So I think that we have to do a better job as parents to harp on the positive and not the negative. Because if you asked me today, how is it being a mom? I probably would have talked about the fact that Ace took a shit on my floor this morning. Not that when Ryder woke up, she gave me the biggest hug and asked if we can pray.
Aww,
you know,
so
like,
sweet.
I would have probably talked about the shit and not the prayer.
Yeah.
So I think.
Isn't that crazy how the negative just takes up so much more space in our brain?
Yes.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I really, truly do. Because literally, as Cheyenne said, that I was like, damn, what would I say? And I'd be like, my morning was thrown off because my big kid's sick and I've got my little man here. But also, you mentioned praying. Yesterday, Boz taught me a whole new prayer when we were eating dinner. Aww. And it was like, okay, Zaire.
Little alien.
I don't even know where See? That's supposed to go. But like, yeah.
That alien you were talking about.
Here it is. Like, here it is. I they follow you. Yes. Everywhere. Alien.
I do agree with that, though. I want to know from you guys, when we put up some clips of this episode, if you guys can comment and let us know what you think about what Remy just said. Like, if someone did ask you, would you have gone to probably the negative or a positive of that day? And it really just depends, I think, it also on, like, your mood and your stress level. And there are going to be stressful days. I don't think Remy's saying there's not stressful days ever. But I do think we have to be more intentional of what we put out.
What we highlight.
Yes, yeah. And what we highlight.
One person who had the exact opposite perspective all the time was your mom. So every time I was pregnant, I saw her, she's like, parenthood is the best. Like, she was the only one who constantly praised being a mom.
She loves it.
I think there needs to be more mama sunshines in the world. And, like, she genuinely enjoys motherhood. And it's hard to find someone who's just like, I love being a mom.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, what was missing when I was going through the process, when Brandon and I were going through the process of, like, deciding when we were going to have kids. It was so much of, like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Wait. And
I wonder if it was more of wait because you guys were so fresh of like just being married, or just wait because kids are demons.
I think it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for like me, there's just this new level of like personal joy that
I wanted you guys to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you have kids, things do change.
For sure.
It's your sex life, your For dating sure. life.
Ooh, we gotta get there.
Like, your cooking schedule, your personal time versus time together. Like,
I'm sorry.
Malachi is like, whoa, why are you talking about sex? Why did you mention that?
I got excited. He didn't like it.
So calm down, Auntie. Right. Calm down. Let me enjoy my time first. Oh, you're okay, Malachi.
You hungry? Is he hungry?
Just under the table, probably. Chilling.
But you can't eat right here. Let me see. Aww. Let me see the Bobby.
How has your motherhood journey been? Are you nursing?
Yes, I am nursing from one boob because my left boob does not produce as much milk as the other one. So one boob is massive. Hi, Bobby.
You're right. It's actually a really nice looking boob.
One boob is double the size.
Boob looks
no
great.
One told me about lopsided boobs.
I just always had them, yeah. So like, I don't think it was like anything to tell. I just thought that.
Oh no, by lopsided I mean like
completely
one is a
different
B,
sizes.
And one is a F.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I was with Ace Ryder. She nursed from both, and I thought every baby, like, what my breastfeeding experience with her. I thought, of course, the next one's gonna be just as like. Easy, but nursing with Ace was so much harder than it was with Ryder, and he only liked one boob.
Oh, he only liked one.
He only liked one, so then that was the one that got all the milk.
Yeah.
But then I feel like because of that, I dried up a lot quicker.
On one side. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what happened, because my first experience was in the hospital, and I blistered. Mm-hmm. When he came out, he latched right away, but he wasn't latching properly. He was just on the nipple and not the boob. So I blistered and was like terrified to feed for like a week from that side.
I remember
so
that.
So that could be a reason too. But this one only produces milk. So this is his side.
Y'all,
and
I've
massive.
Seen the boob and it is like night and day.
I remember
the first time I saw it, I was like, does it hurt?
like, will it ever change?
It was so much boob, and but it also made me happy because as a mom, I feel like we're always, you know, not always, but there's always that thought of, am I going to be able to nurse? Am I going to be able to properly, if I want to be able to nurse, am I going to be able to do it? So, and I know that was
Fear for me because I have implants. And I was like, what if the doctor botched my milk ducts? And that's a real possibility.
Yeah.
So I was so blessed when the milk came in. Like, I cried the first 2 weeks nursing, not because I was happy, but because it hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. But in that same space, I was like, but I'm glad I can do it. That's the only thing that got me through it because y'all.
Good. How was your painful. Other than that, like, how was the first few weeks or like the first just that initial process of being a mom, the recovery period, like.
Ooh. Well, thank God for you, because that kit you got me, I think, really forced me. What was it?
It's I got you the Eco. Oh my gosh, it's a postnatal recovery kit, an Eco postnatal recovery kit.
Yes, and Kyle also got me a postpartum doula. Her name was Valerie. And
what is the baddest? What are you doing?
Oh, look at that cute
jumpers. What are you doing?
So that helped tremendously because it forced me to take time. I was very emotional getting home from the hospital. Like, I cried so much. I didn't know what was wrong. I don't think I trusted myself yet. Mm. As a mom, in some weird way, I just felt a little fearful that, like, they sent me home with this baby. And, like, I just don't know what to do.
Remy's I'm like, wait. To keep you alive now? Right?
Hold That's on. A real she went from I was stealing scared. All the babies to, here's yes. your baby, and being like, what?
Seriously, I was scared. I had, like, this new level of anxiety mm-hmm. that I, like, couldn't really shake, and it was, like, every time I closed my eyes, I would just wake up, like, is he okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's real.
Did he suffocate? Did yeah. he roll over? Like, did something weird happen? I just couldn't shake this something is wrong feeling, and that caused me to just, like, be in this constant state of worry. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, balancing the joy of being a mom with the worry of, I don't know if I can actually keep this baby alive with the whole, like, okay, let me try to get it together because I know he's fine. Like, you know he's okay, but that's not enough to get yourself out of the worry cycle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was an emotional first few weeks. Like, it was a, hey, baby, you gotta stay still, okay? You're gonna stay still. I'm gonna sit you like this. It was an emotional few weeks. And Brandon was just so hands-on and so amazing. And the kit that you got me forced me every single day to shower.
Good.
Which I would not have done if it wasn't a part of the recovery. And I also think because I was aware of postpartum depression, I tried to do everything I can to make sure that if I was going into it, that I knew it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's part of the point of the recovery kit is to help. To me, it's preventative healthcare.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's always a risk of, like, postpartum, no matter what your situation. You can literally have the best situation, all the support, you still have it. It's just how our hormones, the chemicals in our body work.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that you used the kit. I'm happy that you shared that because
it helped. It helped a lot. And you don't really realize how helpful it is to just step away and take a shower. And it wasn't a simple shower. She made me do like a soak and then do 30 minutes of this. And I was gone for an hour and a half every single day. And every time I came back to the baby, I felt so renewed and refreshed. Good. And luckily, Brandon was like, I think he's hungry.
Yeah, I think he's hungry.
He's hungry.
You can nurse on here if you don't care.
No, I don't care. As long as my boob's not showing.
Anyway. I think what you said about the level of anxiety that you have when you bring a baby home is something that plays into both moms and dads. Mm-hmm. So when I had Ryder, I felt like that level of anxiety of am I doing it correctly never really subsided. Like, I think I still have it to this day. I'm constantly on edge. I'm constantly waking up like, is she breathing?
Yeah.
Is she okay?
And Zach,
one day, Zach, this is back when we were dating when I had Rye, and he had brought it up. He was like, you know, she's fine. Like, and it was kind of like an argument, but not an argument, you know, but it was almost like I felt like he was like judging me because of it, where I was just like, this is something that I'm dealing with. I'm her mother. Leave me alone. Like, I'm going to be this way because of whatever. And I'm going to do things because of how I feel.
Yeah.
When we had Ace, it was maybe like a few hours after we had him. And, you know, when they move you from your delivery room to your recovery room, and Zach apologized. He knew exactly what he was talking about, exactly what day. And he was like, I'm so sorry that I ever questioned you with Ryder, because I have not been able to sit down. Mm-hmm. Like, he paced. Yeah. After I had Ace, he couldn't sit still. Like, he just paced the room. And then, like, you know, when they put the baby in the little thing and they're like, okay, you guys can, like, have a break. Not have a break, but, like, chill, the baby's asleep.
Yeah, no more tests right now.
Right. Like, yeah. I woke up and Zach just stood there. He stood there for hours. Wow. He never sat down. It just gave him so much anxiety. He's like, how do we know if he's breathing? Mm-hmm. How do you know this? How do you know this? And I was looking at him almost like, welcome to the club, now motherfucker. You get it. I was literally looking at him like, I'm so sorry, Malachi. Auntie shouldn't curse.
It's the way he knew you.
Right. I was legit looking at him though like, oh, now you get it. And he was like, I don't understand how you could live like this. Like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcast.
So I feel like a big part of our first episode that we had with Remy was when they were talking about their dating experience and being really intentional with that. So one of the questions I thought was good was advice on dating and staying true to your boundaries. In the first episode, you mentioned the break you both took. How did that actually help you?
That break, we're still reaping the benefits from that break.
Wow.
One issue or one area of Brandon that I wasn't really sure about, like when I walked away, was I didn't have full confidence in his ability to lead me spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I knew that in a husband, I wanted someone who initiates like praying and getting closer to God and doing devotionals and going to church together and just like doing all the things that result in serving the Lord in our marriage. And I just didn't have the confidence that he could lead me in that area. And that was a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So I told him that. And I was like, you're really a lovely guy, but I just don't know if you can lead me in this area.
I like you a lot, but...
Your prayer levels just don't cut it.
I just didn't know, because like, you know how sometimes you meet someone and they kind of become what you want them to become, but you don't know if it's actually genuine.
Yeah.
Not to question his genuinality is not a word, is
genuineness?
It?
Is that a word? That's why we're friends.
Genuine. His genuine character. I don't know.
Added a whole new word in there.
I didn't want to question.
We add the ITY at the end, but it's just I can't
somebody's going to correct us.
Somebody help us.
I didn't want to like be too judgmental about that area, but I just went with what I felt in my heart, which was like, let's just take a break.
Okay.
Which wasn't a break, actually. We broke up. It ended up being a break because we got back together, but in my mind, it was a full stop.
We were done.
So throughout that breakup, he took that time to have his intentional season of singleness. Like, I had mine, and I had it before we met. So I became, like, my life did a 360 or 180.
Yeah. One of the questions was Remy always celibate? And I was like,
no, I wasn't. And we'll get there after this question. But I had my intentional season of singleness where I wasn't dating anyone. I wasn't entertaining anyone. I had that time to fully silence the noise and figure out what it is that I wanted for my life.
Yeah.
And throughout that time, I thought about what I wanted in a husband.
Yeah.
And there were some non-negotiables, and I guess that's what the person is asking about, boundaries. There were some non-negotiables in that. And my non-negotiable was someone who couldn't lead me spiritually.
Yeah.
So that's where I had to cut the cord. So during that time, Brandon was finally able to have his season of singleness where he sought the Lord and asked him to define his purpose and asked him to hear more clearly. And just like really took that time to relearn relationships because I feel like we have to unlearn so much.
Yeah.
It's like culture tells us one thing and we end up thinking that that is the way that we're supposed to be in relationship. So all the things like he had to unlearn and relearn.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, gosh, he gained so much wisdom. He gained so much wisdom and just so much clarity on who he was as a man, outside of Remy, outside of all the other relationships that he's had, but just like who is Brandon and what does Brandon want to represent in a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
So throughout that season, I saw the growth from a distance. Like, he would call me sometimes to, buddies, what are you doing? He would call me and be like, hey, I know we're not together, but can we still do a devotional tonight? And I would step away and I'd be like, sure. Because at this point, now I'm supporting your journey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, anybody who calls me and wants to do a devotional, I'll do it. There should be one, right? I'll do it. So
do one in there.
Right here. So that's what I mean by we're still reaping the fruit of that breakup.
So I would take from that to me, if I would think that for somebody dating, you have to be really, when you say boundaries, like, you have to figure out what your non-negotiables are, right?
Yeah.
And stick to them, like, truly stick to them, because I felt like watching you from afar, watching you as a friend, you weren't playing when it came to your intentional season of singleness and what your non-negotiables were.
Yeah. And celibacy was one of those non-negotiables too.
Yes.
And and that's also another reason why I had to take a step away from my now husband, was because he tried to have some sexy time while we were
dating. He was like, celibate where, bitch? I'm trying to stick it in, poke it in, touch
celibate.
It. Can I touch it?
No, he has, and that's why I say, like, we need to be very firm.
Yeah.
We need to be very firm on our boundaries, because if we can't stick to our own boundaries, why is someone else going to stick to it?
Right, because I feel like if you were feeding him all this stuff, I'm celibate right now, I'm doing this, and then he comes over, you guys have one good date, and then you give up the hoochie-coochie, he's going to be like, okay, what else can I kick?
Exactly.
Like, it's like, not,
what other boundaries can I cross?
Right. Yeah. Like, so I really think it's really what you said of sticking to what you're saying and figuring out your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
But I do think that we should answer. A lot of people are wondering, have you always been this intentional with dating, your faith, celibacy?
No, that's actually such a good question, because I love to give like the full picture so you don't just think that I was like this my whole life. And I was always a Christian. I always believed in God, but it was more through the lens of a Sunday Christian. It was like, go to church, leave church, and then go to penthouse.
Yeah.
Or go to Beauty and Essex brunch, or like whatever the case is. But I would literally go in my church clothes to the day party.
Yeah.
And not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but Sunday morning was my time with God, and that was it. You know, it wasn't like a lifestyle. I wasn't living a life that modeled Christ. Like, no, if you see me on the club, you would not look at me and be like, oh, she's a good Christian girl.
She just left church.
And I realized that it was cognitive dissonance in a way, where in my heart, I was just like living this life that did not reflect my true values. And I was always going against what I knew to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where personal conviction comes in. So I started to become convicted in my lifestyle. Like, no one said to me, you're doing a bad thing. Like, you're living a bad... No one said that to me. I was personally convicted.
Yeah.
And when I was personally convicted for, like, the 19th time, because I don't listen. Like, I'm not a one-time, God is like, child, stop.
Right.
He said child, stop for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
But I didn't listen because I was more interested in following my flesh than I was listening to the Spirit. And what I realized during the time period of me dating in the past and me having sexual relationships was that every single time I wanted to stand firm in an area, but then I allowed sex to become a part of the relationship, everything else also lost its legs. Mm-hmm. So by that, I mean, I would have a clear red flag flying in front of my face. But then I would not listen to that red flag because I was, my flesh was too satisfied, shall I say, with like the sexual relationship that I was in with this person. So I would start to ignore signs and know good and well that this is not the man for me, but I'd stay in the relationship for other reasons.
Yeah.
And it's just very difficult to be in a relationship like that and then try to see someone fully for who they are without thinking like, am I in it for the wrong reasons? So I say that to say that I was convicted and I decided to just like cold turkey end it all. Like no talking to anyone, no dating anyone, and fully just like ask God to help me identify my purpose as his daughter. That's it. Mm-hmm. Tell me who I am to you.
Yeah.
And once I learned who I was to him, I realized that like I had a new pride about my body and I did not want to just like kiss anyone and talk to anyone or go out with anyone even. Like, I had such a protective standpoint over my body and I started to cherish myself more. So once I was able to, like, take that ownership back and, like, that all happened in the season of singleness, which is why I was not willing to break it for anyone until it was my husband because of what it took to get me there.
Yeah.
And also, like, when we are married, we give authority to our husbands. You're not supposed to give that authority to just, like, anybody.
Everybody.
And yeah, like, that's pretty much a long answer. I haven't been celibate my whole life, but I know one person wanted to know how that changed our marriage.
You guys being celibate.
And then having sex for the first time. Not having sex for the first time, but waiting until marriage. With each other, yeah. And I can't recommend it enough. And the reason why is because there's so many layers of intimacy that I feel get missed when you start with sex versus end with sex.
Yeah.
So, like, for that entire time of our dating and engagement, we got to experience every other level of intimacy, emotional and intellectual and mental and all the other ways. And when it was time for us to have sex, it felt so, so sacred.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we had a redemption story for both of our lives because we still got to experience that sacredness that sex is supposed to bring. And it was gentle. It was timid. It wasn't a performance. It was just like,
y'all, if me and Zayna could have paid to been in the room,
they would have.
We would have. That wedding night, it was like, we're all like, is the wedding over? Is it time?
Can we put a camera
in? Is it happening now? We were
like, outside, I was like texting Cheyenne like, hey, did they do it yet?
Everybody was like, did they do it yet?
Did they do it yet?
And Zay and I were like, can we just watch?
Can we just peek through
a little hole just to make sure?
I have never been invested in someone else's sex life so
much as this one.
Oh my goodness.
As this.
But yeah, we both had a redemption story there.
I love that.
And got to experience the fullness and the point of sex. So,
anyone who approaches me at this point, I'm like, I'm celibate until I get married. And they're like, but you have two kids. And I'm like,
you're like, there is redemption.
I want to say there is a reason why I am celibate at this point.
That, like, you have to start out that way, but that is so natural. Like, we're made new every day.
Thank you.
Every day, you can choose today to be good, and everything that happened in your past doesn't matter.
I for sure told somebody last week, everything that I did before my husband, I don't even remember. That is just erased.
You're like, I've been made new.
I'm made new, okay? When I tell you, I deleted all wholeness. It is gone. Don't ask me about anybody I slept with.
I'm pretty sure I could see someone and be like,
I don't know that man.
I don't know you. And I would genuinely be like, what is this man's name?
Oh, my God.
I'm denying all sexual relations.
Deny.
I'm denying them all. Since we're talking about sex. How is sex after a baby?
So one interesting element that I would like to debunk and give everyone hope for, because someone once said after 6 weeks, it's time to have sex again. I know that like you can physically because your doctor clears you, but I was not ready And I just think that we should all remove the pressure of a countdown to have sex again after the baby.
Yes.
Because your body has gone through so much.
Trauma.
We went through an unmedicated birth, so I felt everything 4 days. And going through the process of pushing a human out and then thinking that anything else is going to go in there ever again took me a long time, because I was like, I'm never having sex again. This cut off. Take it away. Don't want anything to do with it. I didn't even look down there for 8 weeks after
I
had the baby.
You're smart. I looked. It was a lot.
I was terrified. I didn't even call you. I still haven't looked.
Girl, 2 years since I've had ACE, I'm not looking. I don't want to know. It took me and Zach a really, really long time.
Yeah, it took us, I think, 10 weeks. Hi, Bubby. It took us 10 weeks to have sex again. And Brandon was so supportive. And he's just like, babe, luckily, we've gone through seasons of not having sex. So you never have to worry about it being forced on you. And you never have to worry about, feeling some type of way about not being able to have sex with me. Because during the pregnancy, we couldn't have sex for... can you pass me his car seat? I'm going to try to sit a minute. During the pregnancy, we found out I was high risk. And we could not have sex for about 6 or 8 weeks because my cervix was too short and I couldn't do anything. We had to cancel our baby moon and all the things. So we've gone through so many seasons, and which is another reason why I push that celibacy is a great thing, because you get to realize that sex is not the defining force that's holding your marriage together.
Yeah, and it shouldn't
be. When you've gone without it for so long. So I would have had feelings of insecurity during the pregnancy. Can I have that? I'll give it time to play with. Here you go, bubbies. I would have had feelings of insecurity knowing that I had to deprive my husband of sex for so long while we were trying to figure out my cervix. And once again, because I wasn't ready for 10 weeks after the baby, there's just been multiple seasons where we were not able to have sex. Mm-hmm. And I do think that planting the seed of sex not being that big of a deal in our marriage or the glue that's holding it together has helped us get through those seasons. So
I think also having that base and that foundation of being spiritually aligned really strengthens those moments too, because it's you're able to not make it a personal, internalized experience where it's you know what? We are vessels. We are here. This is, we are still serving a greater purpose, a greater Lord. This is not the end all.
Exactly. We did have sex after pregnancy, it was amazing.
I honestly feel
our bodies are so amazing. The way God decided that our...
how it works.
Was going to go right back. I don't know how that happened. Physically, I can't understand it. I cannot wrap my brain around a 7.7-pound baby coming out and then going right back to where I was previously. It's like some weird miracle that God really thought about with us. And I'm grateful for that, because I was nervous, to be honest. I was like, what if it doesn't feel the same? And I had all these.
What if it don't work anymore?
What if it doesn't work anymore? What if I don't like it anymore?
Yeah.
And it was the best.
Aww.
Also just another layer of intimacy.
Yeah.
I love this.
Because I feel when you have sex with your mate after a baby, they also, especially if they've gone, if they're hands-on with the pregnancy and we're hands-on with your labor and stuff.
Brandon delivered Malachi.
Right.
He physically delivered him.
So if they've seen you in that level, then I feel when you have sex for that first time, it's very they're very gentle with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To another level of, it's almost losing your virginity again. It's okay, how's it going? It's a lot of checking in with each other. Which I feel
I just have this visual of you and Zach and you being and in your mind you're I lost my virginity again in this moment.
Well, shit, to me it honestly feels like that. Because for me, I had stitches and I feel I told them to do it extra tight the second time around. So I felt it was a lot to go through. But because he went through my labor with ACE and was so intentional of I want to see him come out. I want to hold the leg. I want to do this. He wanted to play all the roles that I think by the time we did have sex for the first time, it was very, like,
intimate.
And I'm like,
so sweet.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Damn, you lit a candle. Like, yeah. I didn't get a candle lit before.
I love it. It's just, aww. It's very special. It's very sacred. And I just think that, like, there's this one saying, the devil does everything to get you in bed before marriage and everything to keep you out of bed after marriage. And it is very easy to not make time for sex when you have a small child or a child in general. So, like, in order for us to keep our sexual life active, we have to plan now. Like, we have to plan around Malachi's nap times and make sure we put him in his crib. It's not just, like, as spontaneous as it was because we have a little human.
Different. Yeah.
So we have to...
And it will grow to be spontaneous again.
Yeah, we have to be intentional to be like, okay, he's asleep. This nap is probably going to go about 30 minutes. We got that much time.
We got about to start finishing.
Yeah, so, like, I know someone wanted to know about how sex has changed after the baby. And that's one of the most, that's one of the biggest changes is that, because he sleeps with us in bed at this age. We're going to start sleep training in a few weeks. But we can't just, like, roll over, you know. We have to make sure he's not in the room and put him in his crib and all the things. So...
it's more planned out.
We have to, another layer of intentionality.
I was gonna say another layer.
It just
it's
doesn't
more
end.
Planned out.
It doesn't end.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And I think that's going to be like that for a while. I do think that with bringing Remy on, we all knew, at least Remy and I talked about it, how this is going to have to be like a 3-part, 2-part, 4-part conversation because we just can't fit it all in an hour.
So
there's so much.
Yeah.
I definitely want you to come back, hopefully next week if you can, and just we can dive deeper in some of these topics. I feel like today you're able to touch on different things. The marriage, the baby, the birth. But I feel like people want to hear about, like, your unmedicated birth and using a doula and being in the hospital and hearing, you know, all different opinions of that. And I know a lot of people still want to hear more about your wedding. Like, we didn't even get to talk about the wedding at all. So this is not the last that you guys are going to see Remy. She's going to come back. Nice. We're going to take all her time for the next few weeks. But if there is something that you heard her say on this episode that you really genuinely want her to touch on for next week's episode, make sure you guys either DM it to the Think Loud Crew page or comment down below so that we can be able, well, Remy's able to really, like, speak on whatever that topic is. So as you know, we end our episodes with a WTF moment of that week or advice. Do you have advice or WTF?
I should have thought about this.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I thought about mine in the car. So I'm in the season of potty training ace.
Oh my goodness.
Potty training a boy versus a girl right now is just way different because I have the two to compare. Ryder was very, very easy. It took me 2 days. I put her in cute undies. We went to Target. She picked her cute undies. She was very proud of her little undies with the little whatever character was on it. Yeah.
Aww.
I got her a little potty. We put the potty in the living room, and she wore these undies all day. And I knew for these 2 days I was not leaving my house. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like to be dirty or wet or anything. So as soon as she was wet, she was, like, over it. I would leave.
Then she realized.
She realized, but I would leave them on her. I made her irritated so that she understood.
Yeah.
Best decision ever to just knock it out in those 2 days. Ace and I are, like,
head to head.
So right now, since he's in his season of potty training, he's naked a lot. Like, he likes to just take his, we leave him with a pull-up on. He knows how to take the little straps off, and he just is like, it's out. Like,
now
he's just running around the house naked. And I realize, okay, let me leave him naked, and he'll tell me when he has to go potty. And every 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I'm asking, do you want to go to the potty? He goes on the potty. He pees. He gets very, very excited. So yesterday we had a good day with potty training. And I turned around. He's on my couch. He has Ryder's iPad that has this game where you can smash bugs. He has straddled the iPad. And he's using his baby dick to smash the bugs.
You're lying.
I was like,
you're lying.
I literally almost rolled over and died.
Oh my goodness.
And
I'll dig
Ryder,
the grave. I will dig
Ryder
the grave.
Was like, Mom, his is sitting by my iPad.
Oh my God.
Mind you, his father is sitting right next to him and he's like, is he using his baby penis to smash the bugs?
Oh my, he's like, my finger doesn't work today.
I was literally like, oh,
that is my a major WT God.
Moment. It really made me, like, I know I have a boy. Like, you know what I mean? But it really solidified, like, I have a boy with a penis.
Yeah.
Like, he has an actual penis that he just used to smash bugs on her iPad.
Oh, I have nothing that good.
It was crazy.
What?
It was crazy. And then we, of course, made him stop because what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, he was pissed. Oh, falling out on the floor, just wailing, and I'm still sitting there like,
Hubby,
oh my God.
You better not do things like that.
No. It was the craziest shit I've seen him do. I mean, besides like pee and shit on my floor, but that, I'm like, how did you even figure that out?
Oh my goodness. Oh God. AC?
Right?
He's like, I have something that kind of feels, looks like a finger.
Remy, it was a full straddle of like,
and like hitting it. Oh my
God. Yes, goodness. It was crazy.
What did I just walk into?
My WTF.
What's your WTF? Or advice?
I don't really have I have plenty of WTFs advice right now.
She's like, I'm in a current one right now.
I'm a walking WTF in this moment, but it is temporary. Rather than that, one thing that I've always admired about you is your faith in God. Mm-hmm. So this week I had someone reach out to me who was just asking for prayer.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of wanted to share this prayer, because, like, you've inspired me to be, like, a prayer warrior.
Yay, I love that.
Remy and my Nana. So, this woman reached out. Her best friend was diagnosed with breast cancer a few years ago. But now it's to the point where she's terminally ill. She has young children, her husband, and they're telling her she only has, like, a few weeks left on Earth. So we're sending out prayers for Courtney and her family and her support partners, her family, the doctors that are covering her, treating her, taking care of her, but also praying to release all pain from her body, peace within her family, the support that they need. So if everyone just this week could just take a second and just send some extra prayers out to, you know, one of our crew members, it would be greatly appreciated. And just put your hands out over her family. And she's like, all right, she's in her early 30s. And it's just, it's life is a blessing. And when you have it, like, you truly
come on,
live with intention. You know, live with those positive thoughts, because you never know, like, what will happen to you or someone around you. So it's
and life can change so quickly.
Life can change so quickly. And it's she recently had a baby. She had had another baby, and after she had her baby, it spread. So I'm thankful that God has allowed for her memory to, like, continue and live on in her children. But it is, I'm thinking about her babies, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about her husband. So I'm just really praying to God, Allah, Yahweh, whoever you call on, whoever you speak to, like, please take just a few moments today and just, again, send your prayers to Courtney and her family and to her husband and their children during this time. So no WTF for words of advice for me. I'm
Kyle
calling
missed
on the prayer.
My WTF because Boz had to go to the bathroom.
Yes, I did. But I walked in and you, like, straddling the chair.
Wait, before we get back, if you want... Hi, Bubby. Hi. He's learning how to blow spit.
I love it.
If you, we're off air, I can send a voice note to Courtney directly.
I would love
whoever
that.
It is, praying for her, because going through cancer... Prayerfully, we never have to experience that firsthand, but we all have experienced it secondhand.
Yes.
And it has a way of robbing your joy
yes.
and your peace and just, like, shaking up your world in a way that you never thought was possible.
Yeah.
So keep her encouraged. Allow her to know that the Lord does not make mistakes, and we're never going to understand everything fully that he does and allows us to go through, but it is for a purpose. And throughout all of this, I just pray that she will continue to have joy and continue to have peace, And I'll be praying for a miracle. Because girl, God is a miracle.
We've seen it.
We've seen miracles happen. That's why I'm like
a miracle worker.
When I received the message, I was leaving work yesterday. Yeah. And I've just, you know, my last couple months have been my WTF. So I'm still in this like super emotional state. So I'm literally leaving work like in tears. Just because I'm just like, there's just so much going on, and it's you never know what other people are dealing with. And in that moment, I was just like, I felt crazy in my chaos, but I was at the same time, I'm fortunate in my chaos.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments for me. So it was,
I look at my chaos sometimes and I just cry because I'm so happy. Because
it like could have been.
It could have.
All the things.
I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I just have to be
more grateful.
More grateful. Mm-hmm. And it will be that Zach is having a rough day and whatever. And Ryder has a sassy attitude because she thinks she's 30. And Ace pooped on the floor, and I'm like, I'm having the best day looking at all you guys, because it could be so much worse.
And my heart definitely breaks for her, and I just want you to stay encouraged if you're listening to this. I'm going to send a prayer through I'll do it on your voice note, so you can send it to her.
Just peace. I just really want her to feel peace and just enjoy.
Yeah, and also, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something that no one could take from you. No situation, no circumstance, nothing can happen in your life that should have the power to take away your joy, because that is a direct deposit from the Lord into your spirit. So just hold on to that. Hold on to the fact that no matter what you're going through, anyone out there, that you have access to joy. Mm-hmm. And it can't be taken away from you or shaken or destroyed. It's yours. Regardless of the chaos. And I guess that's my advice for this week.
Yeah, I think that was beautiful. Have access to
joy. I think that was great. Remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited that we're going to have Remy come back on next week. I feel like...
Are we bringing husband Brandon?
We're going to try, but Brandon's really been deep into his work. And I'm a... Yeah, except today he's definitely out golfing with my husband.
So. That's why I have the baby.
Right.
Golfing.
But hopefully we can get Brandon on. But I definitely think that we're going to try to get Remy to come on the next few weeks with us, because there's just so many topics that I want to dive deeper in. And I feel like as Remy's friend, I've seen her through many seasons, and this is by far the best one, like out of all of them. I've seen her a lot of them.
Well, you've seen the process and the journey.
So,
you've been there.
Right. This is not like a 1-hour combo, because this is just a great season to be able to be a part of. So thank you for coming on this week, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow the Think Loud Crew podcast and Instagram, and you can follow us on or check us out on any podcast platforms. Watch us on YouTube, and we will check you guys back in next week. I hope everybody has a good, blessed week. You can follow me at Shy Not Shy.
I'm so into this. This
he loves his mama
right now.
Kyle, where can they follow you?
Y'all can find me at R. Kylan, and just to bounce off of Shy, and don't forget to comment, like, subscribe, turn on your notifications, and continue to send us your call of prayer, positivity. I love your memes that you guys send. So we appreciate our crew being our crew. And where can we find you, Remy?
You can find me on Instagram at Remy Chantel Bobo. What's my YouTube handle? I think Brandon and I have a family YouTube, and it's either Remy and Brandon or Brandon and Remy.
We'll get it.
We'll figure it out. But put in Brandon comments. And Remy, or Remy and Brandon, and you'll find it.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
All right, guys.
I'm just at my home.
No, they're not coming to your house. All right, guys. Don't forget to tell your crew about our crew, and have a good week.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, It can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.